welcome you, and we need to tell you right up front that this is going to be quite a different morning than most mornings here at Southside Fellowship. If you attend here on a regular basis, you'll find that we study our way through whole books of the Bible. That's our usual approach on Sunday morning. This morning, we're going to divert from that. Next week, we'll be back in our study in the book of Hebrews. We'll be in chapter 7, and we'll be looking at the strange guy named Melchizedek, which the author of Hebrews has been kind of talking about without talking about him. But that's coming up. But this morning is going to be a bit different because we have some important things to share with you about what we see God doing locally in and through our church. And at the end of the morning, I'm going to propose I'm going to make a rather challenging proposal from the elders that we believe will give us greater influence and impact as we move forward into the future. But before we get to that, I've got one item of business that we need to take care of that has to do with next year's budget. Typically, at this time each year, the elders submit a ministry plan and budget for the coming year because our church fiscal year starts July the 1st. However, because of a number of factors that I'm not going to go into just yet, we're not ready to submit the ministry plan this morning. There have been several things that we have been praying about and discussing and working through that have not become as clear as we had hoped by this time, and we feel that we need a bit more time in our planning, and we've been working hard. Last several months, we've been meeting every Wednesday night rather than bi-monthly. So we've been working hard, praying and discussing and planning, what we're doing this morning is we're going to propose to you that we extend last year's budget for 4 more months. In other words, until we have more clarity about our future direction and needs, we want to continue to operate with last year's budget. That means with no increases, no changes. We'll just do business as we have been doing through October. And hopefully by then we'll be in a better position to discern God's direction for the future. Now, this extension, just like a normal budget, will require a vote, and that we will do in 3 Sundays. 3 Sundays from now, we'll have a vote to extend last year's budget for 4 more months. If you feel like you need to see last year's budget again, or if you never saw it to start with, there are proposed church budgets from last year out in the Commons area at the Welcome Center, and you can feel free to pick up a copy of that there. But we will vote in 3 weeks to extend last year's budget 4 more months. Now, this morning, as I said, it's going to be different because we want to talk about what we've seen God doing over this past year in local ministry here and propose a change that we believe He may be leading us to make as we look to the future. Now, let me introduce it this way. Many of you have been participating in our Eat This Book daily Bible reading plan. And if you've been doing that, you have by now probably read through the books of Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. And as I was reading through these books several weeks back, I was struck by how many times the main characters in these books, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, how many times they spoke of experiencing the favor of God while carrying out the work of God. The favor of God. Ezra put it this way in a prayer of praise to God after hearing King Artaxerxes granted him favor to undertake the work of rebuilding the temple. Ezra said this, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, who's put it into the king's heart to bring honor to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, and who has extended his good favor to me before the king and his advisors and all the king's powerful officials. Because the hand of the Lord my God was on me, I took courage." Ezra had a very definite impression that God was extending his good favor so that he and the people could accomplish what God had called them to do. Nehemiah was called by God to the work of rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem. And 3 times in the book of Nehemiah prays and asks for God's favor, and he speaks of God's favor. Twice he prays, "Remember me with favor, my God." Now, for Nehemiah, experiencing God's favor was not the absence of conflict. Now, the way he puts it in chapter 2, verse 8 and 18, he says, in spite of the conflict, the gracious hand of my God was on me. So for Nehemiah, as he sought to accomplish the work of God, even in conflict, he sensed he was experiencing the favor of God. And interestingly enough, even though in the book of Esther, the name of God is not mentioned at all, over and over we hear how Esther won the favor of the people and the king, implication being that God had called her to a certain task, and it was God who was granting her favor with people and with leaders. And that word favor just kept popping out at me, and as I read through these books, and as I thought about how God had called each of those main characters to accomplish the task, which at first seemed impossible, I think, I was struck by how many times in very clear, tangible ways God's people experienced the favor of God as they carried out the work of God. I'd even put it this way, God's people enjoyed the favor of God as they carried out the work of God. And as I thought about God's work here in our church, in and through our church, I had a very keen sense that we too are experiencing the favor of God as we go about the work of God, specifically in two ways. First, through increase. God continues to bring more and more people here. And when God gives the increase, when we see people trusting Christ and getting baptized and growing up in their faith in increasing numbers, we see that as God's good hand granting us that favor. And I'm not going to talk about that point this morning. Actually, that's central to what the elders and the directional team are talking about right now. It's the biggest reason we're not ready to present a budget, because the question we're wrestling with is, if God continues to bring more and more people here, how do we care for them? And part of the second question that follows that, how do we care for them, is where do we put them? Because we're out of room in our children's space, we're out of room with our student ministry, and then this service, as you can see, we don't, which is the service that most guests attend, we're pretty much out of room. So the first way we see God's favor is through increase, and we have been, as elders, have been discussing and praying and thinking through what God's will is in the next steps. But I'm not talking about that this morning. I'm going to talk about the second way that we sense that we've experienced God's favor, and that is through a growing influence that we are having in the city of Greenville. Now, about a year ago, I'm going to move over to the table because I think I have a friend over here at the table who's sitting in the dark. I'll just come join him. Yeah. About a year ago, I sat here with Jonathan Parker, who is our director of city involvement, and we talked about what we called it, what we called our inside-out strategy, meaning that we're looking for ways to serve here in Greenville by partnering with existing ministries and service organizations, literally from the inside out. That meaning, by developing relationships with city leaders and coming alongside of them and asking them, how can we help you accomplish your goals? Instead of reinventing the wheel, coming to them and saying, how can we, as a body of believers who care about the city, how can we serve you? And as we've done that, we've been kind of amazed that people are amazed that a church would be interested in that kind of ministry. And this past year, Jonathan here was accepted into and just recently graduated from something called Leadership Greenville. And in going through that program, Jonathan has developed some important relationships that have resulted in helping Southside become more involved in what's going on the inside of the city, and we've seen several doors open for us to have positive influence in serving and sharing the gospel. But I'm getting kind of ahead of myself. Jonathan, welcome back. I'm going to let you tell your own stories. So tell us a little bit about what's happening since the last time we talked as you begin to lean into your role as Director of City Involvement.
Awesome. Well, good morning again. It's so great to talk with you and share with you all that God's doing. I am by nature a really quick speaker. And then after first service, I got to hear about half a dozen stories of people in our church serving in the city. So I'm a little more jacked up than normal. So I will try to restrain and speak at a non-flash pace. But it is so great to be able to share with you what God is doing, the opportunities our city has, or our church has been able to participate in our city has been great. And a lot of what you will hear about today, I'm involved in. But I hope you don't walk out of here and go, well, that's cool, Jonathan got to pull all of that off. I hope you see that God is showing us favorable influence as a church in our city and with our community. But as Charlie mentioned, I was able to participate in Leadership Greenville. And for some of you who may not know what that is, that's a program through the Chamber of Commerce where the chamber and city officials and influencers identify those who they believe to be future leaders or present leaders in the city. It's a pretty strenuous, it's a long application process, I should say. And in the 40-year history, only about 1,800 people have been through the program. So if you've graduated from Leadership Greenville, please come talk to me after, shoot me an email. I'd love to connect with you. But it's just this awesome opportunity to kind of get a behind-the-scenes look, behind-the-curtain look at how the city is run and how the community engages with one another. And it was great to be a part of it. And we had an opening retreat this past fall. And mind you, most of the people, practically all of the people I go through Leadership Greenville are business people, or they own a company, or they're an entrepreneur. So at orientation at the opening retreat, when I stood up, I said, my name's Jonathan Parker. I'm the Director of City Involvement for Southside Fellowship. And I'm in Leadership Greenville because I love Jesus, and my love for Jesus compels me and my church to love our city. And I sat down, and the looks on people's faces were quite puzzling. And those who became some of my closest friends at the end were some of the most skeptical and most curious about why a church would do this. Why would a church engage the city in this way? It was different for them. And my journey there was equally as different than a lot of other folks because they're approaching it differently. We were saying, how can we serve these organizations, these partners? How can we serve the community, our city, our county? How can we serve them with what they're doing and not, as Charlie said, recreate the wheel? So I was able just to get this beautiful picture. And just about every month I came back and I talked to Charlie and Art and Todd. I was like, okay, this is things we need to do now. We got to change this. We got to help this. And it was so exciting. But what was also exciting was at the opening retreat, I met a few people that attend Southside. Kelly Nally. I was able to meet Andrea Smith with Senior Action here in town. I was also able to meet Stephen Buckingham, who was elected and by our class to be our class speaker. These three people, along with me, we all part of one church. And it was so encouraging to hear them say things like, I'm glad our church is doing this, and I'm thankful that you're here. And when this application process happens, understand this, it's kind of blind. They don't know our names. They don't know who we are. They just see on paper what we've done in the city. And four people from Southside, the city looked at blindly, objectively, and said, wow, they're serving in the city. They're serving our community. We need to put them into this program. And I thought that was just absolutely tremendous. But through Leadership Greenville, doors were open quite a bit. And not in the ways necessarily from a business standpoint. I'm not starting a business tomorrow, okay? So you're not all investors now. But it was opened my eyes to the ways that we could partner. And some of the ways that we have partnered in the past, we continued, like Hog Day, Hands on Greenville. Last year for Hands on Greenville, we had about 70 volunteers, and it was great. We were up at Camp Spearhead. But this past year, we had about a little over 170 volunteers. We were able to serve at two different locations, and many of you came out and, you know, got dirty and laid mulch and planted flowers. And it was great to watch you all work while I took pictures. And it was just a tremendous time. And the Hog Day, the two women that run Hog Day gave me a call and said, hey, swing by our office. We'd love to talk with you and see how it went and see how we can partner further. Nate Mader and Mert have already contacted them and say, hey, what projects didn't get done on Hog Day that we can come complete? And they were just thrilled because that means the projects will get done. And merges our middle school ministry. So that was tremendous. Also in the fall, we participated in the CPS survey with American Cancer Society, which was the Cancer Prevention Study 3, only the third one in their history. And when they approached us, we were the first church they came to and said, hey, we hear you serve in the city. Would you partner with us in this way? And it was great to hear. The survey was anonymous. So when you register, I don't know who participated. But what was great was there was about 6 or 7 days of where you could go and get blood drawn and take the survey. And every time the director was there, Elizabeth, she met more people from Southside. And I would get a text or a call. Hey, met someone else from Southside, met someone else from Southside. And it was so encouraging to her that she asked us to continue to partner with her in other ways. This past spring, we participated and partnered with her in the Moonlight 5K, which was a race to raise money for American Cancer Society right here in Greenville. But what was great about that was this new partnership with American Cancer Society, I was able to bring in our CES partner, our Good News Club partner, and they had a Good News Club tent at the race. And if you've ever seen a Good News Club, you know they got the puppets and they're talking about Jesus and they're doing face painting. And what was so great was after the run, adults are getting the gospel story painted on their face and walking around and talking to people. And we were able to host the VIP tent, which was the survivors and racers tent for those who had battled cancer and won, but also to remember the ones who lost their fight with cancer. And we were able to participate and we had barbecue and it was great. And I got a thank you note, actually, from Elizabeth talking about the experience and how happy she was for Southside to be a part of it. And some of it is directly to me, so it is a little strange reading a thank you note that was written to me and the church. But here it is. I've been searching for the right words to express my deep gratitude for you and your church's kindness, dedication, and profound generosity. The reception you created, which was for the survivors, helped us honor our cancer survivors and remember and honor those who had lost their cancer fight was absolutely amazing. The barbecue in the children's area created such a special touch to the Moonlight 5K and enhanced the experience for all. You made this event the best one we've had so far, without a doubt. I am blessed to know you and be able to count you among my friends. We are looking forward to continued partnership with you and Southside Fellowship. You are a special group of people who are making a difference in the lives of so many. Sincerely yours, Elizabeth. And what was so great was I was able to partner with Josh Amos and Nate Mader and Annie Gray because they took care of the race piece. And I was able to help with the after the race reception. And it was tremendous. And she was thrilled that a church would come alongside of her and help her with this event that makes a difference to so many here in Greenville, but also across the country. She was so thrilled with what Southside was doing that she regularly tells other nonprofits, if you're looking for help, if you're looking for people to serve, or you just need someone to think with, you need to call Jonathan at Southside. So this past January, a new area director came in for a nonprofit that was opening up, and she called me 3 days into her job. She said, hey, I was talking to Elizabeth. She said that while getting off the ground and getting this group going, if I needed to, I needed to call you. I was like, great, let's meet for coffee. And the result of one of our partners talking to another partner is that Southside has the joy of hosting a Parkinson's support group every month during every first Thursday of every month in the afternoon. And it was her third day on the job, or it was her sixth day on the job by the time we met. And her board was shocked that a church so quickly would open its doors and say, sure, you can meet there. And we're hoping they outgrow the space because they meet in some of our rooms upstairs. We're hoping they outgrow the space, and we've seen tremendous growth within the support group. So here, I mean, just think about this. A civic partner in Greenville says, if you want people to serve, you got to call Southside. Now, there are other churches serving. There's other great organizations, but it's really great that we're on that list and that we get so many calls. It's, as Charlie said, it's helped with our partnerships, but it's also helped kind of with influence in the city. This past spring, I was asked to come on as the co-chairman of the Community Engagement Committee for the next high school, next coming from the next building downtown, the next high school, which will hopefully be opening in August 2014. The chairman of the board there is named Zach Eikenberry. He's a member here, a community group leader, and he saw the approach Southside was taking with the city and serving with no expectation of return, and he told the board, we got to have them on board. We got to have Jonathan to engage the community because they're serving with no agenda but to care and love on people. If you were here in the fall when we spoke initially as well, we said one of the reasons we want to let people know who we are in the city is not so that we can pack the, you know, the building full of people and, you know, our budget can go up. But we wanted people to know that we loved them and we cared for them and that they could count on us when we're able to help. And one of those things was visibility allowed us that if a tragedy or a devastating event ever happened in Greenville, that they would feel comfortable to call us. Well, the day after Leadership Greenville graduation, JHM Hotels, along with the city, decided to host a prayer vigil for the victims and the survivors of the tornado in Oklahoma. Wednesday morning, I was on my way to work, and I got a call from a Leadership Greenville class mate named Heather. And she said, Jonathan, I'm putting on this prayer vigil. And as I was thinking about who could come and say some words and lead us in prayer, I couldn't think of anyone else I'd rather have there than you in Southside. And I had such a good time to partner with the city. Red Cross joined as well, and we were able to raise money and get signups for volunteers. And it was just a tremendous night for the city and for a business to look at Southside and say, will you come? Will you serve with us in this way? So the partnerships have grown. And I even heard this morning, a gentleman came up and said, Jonathan, you remember the Miracle Hill bike ride was this past week? I said, yeah, how you feeling? Because he rode 100 miles because he's crazy. And I said, how's it going? He's like, it went great, but I have to tell you this. In 2005 was when the bike race started. And since that time, Miracle Hill, just through the bike race, has raised a little over than $1 million for their ministry. And that bike race was started by quite a few dedicated men and women right here in our church. In 8 years, they raised over $1 million. And our church has participated every year in that event. And that just makes me so excited because Miracle Hill does amazing things in the city. And many of you partner with Miracle Hill. And you partner at Piedmont Women's Center and at food pantries and women's shelters and children's homes. You serve all over the place. And when I meet with the partners from the church or just continue to talk in the city, I hear the stories. Well, Southside's here. Or I know this person. They go to Southside. So thank you. Thank you for giving of your time. Thank you for getting your kids involved to serve outside these walls. And one of the big events we did with inside these walls that had a global and local outreach was Food for Orphans, where we had over 120 volunteers come and pack food. So it's been incredible to continue to push through and meet these partners and serve our city.
So you also, out of all this, you've gotten many opportunities to share your faith because you're not shy about telling that right. You're here because you love Jesus. And I mean, talk a little bit about that, like some of the conversations and things you've had.
It's great when you put out there right away that you love Jesus and that compels you to love others. People immediately are curious and they know what your agenda is right away because they know you're going to talk about Jesus and you know you're going to love on them. So there's my agenda. It's way out in front. And when I sit down and talk to people and they ask, why would a church be involved? I tell them, but they're not interested in what we're doing. They're not. They're more interested in the why. They love what we do, but they want to know why we do it. And this has allowed me to have some tremendous conversations. A good group of friends that I have met in the city, they range from all forms of religious backgrounds.
Which I call as Jesus party group, because it's like a Hindu and an agnostic and an atheist, and people from all kinds of backgrounds.
All kinds of backgrounds. And we sit around and we talk about Jesus. And they ask me questions and I ask questions about their faith. And they don't condemn me, push me off, walk away from the table when I talk about Jesus, because I don't do that to them when they talk about what they believe. But I have such a strong belief that the gospel is the power of God and it is good news that the more I talk about Jesus, I don't have to worry about the rest. I'll let the Spirit do that. And so we were sitting down one night at dinner, I remember, and one of my good friends, he's like, all right, that's it. Let's just get it all on the table. We're all going around what you believe and why you believe it. Here we go. And I was like, all excited. And we went around and they continued to talk about what they believe. And I'm able to talk about Jesus. Now understand, I don't necessarily agree with everything they think, do, and believe. But with how we've approached saying, listen, we can love Jesus and the gospel with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we can love our neighbor as ourselves, it's allowed me to have these conversations to the extent that I'm so comfortable with these guys and and these guys are so comfortable, in a sense, with me, was we were at another dinner, and a buddy of mine leaned over, and he asked me a question. He said, "Jonathan, what do you think about this?" And he gave me a particular issue, and I just chuckled. And I went, "Really?" I was like, "You know what I think about that." And he's like, "Yeah, I know, but..." I said, "Hold on. And you know what the Bible says about that, because we've talked about this before." He's like, "Yeah, I know." I said, "But you want to talk about this more?" He's like, "Yeah, let's do that." And we have, and we're going to continue to talk about it. And he didn't get up and walk from the table. In his mind, Southside is serving. It's the only church that he knows of that is taking time to care and love and serve with no expectation of return. As we reintroduce people to Jesus, I found that the best way to do it is show them you love them, serve with them, care for them, and that will open the doors to be able to share your faith and talk about
and
Jesus.
And tell them the truth in a winsome way.
Exactly.
Yeah. I want to make one thing clear, and that is we don't want you to think that Jonathan is the outreach program here. All right? Let me explain to you what Jonathan is doing. Jonathan is making connections with city leaders and ministry leaders. And he's making connections that lead to events and partnership opportunities that involve our whole body. And so as different ones of us participate in different service projects in our city and our county, those events then, those service projects, what we're hopeful is that they become catalysts that bleed over into your personal lives so that we all live lives of personal service wherever we are, at work or school in our neighborhoods. That's what he is helping us do. And he wants me to say this, but this is really what the whole strategy is about. I want to say it one more time. Jonathan makes connections with city leaders that open doors for us to become involved in community service projects that become catalysts for a lifestyle of personal service and sharing the gospel. That's the way this inside out strategy is supposed to work. And I guess I could put it this way as well, that the end game of our inside out strategy is to build a community that reaches our community, to build a community here that cares about Greenville, that serves Greenville, and reaches out. And our desire is to be a community of grace that delights in serving our city and our county with no expectation of return, with the hope that by serving, we will be able to create more and more opportunities to share the gospel with greater influence. So this really isn't all about Jonathan. And thank you, Jonathan, for being here.
Thank you so much.
Let's give Jonathan a hand. It's really not about him. It's about him helping us to serve together and helping you get a taste for what it's like to serve and care for the people that you work around, live around, go to school with. So those are some of the ways that we see the favor of God in our body as we carry out the work of God. Now, I told you on the front end that the elders want to propose a change that we feel that as we move forward into the future, that this change will bring more, even more positive influence in the days ahead. You ready? I mean, this is a big change. We're proposing that we change the name of the church from Southside Fellowship to Fellowship Greenville. To Fellowship Greenville. Told you it was going to be a big change. This is something that the elders and pastors have talked about for several years. And in view of what God seems to be doing more recently, we believe it's time to come to you and bring this proposal to you and ask for your input and your affirmation. And there are a couple of reasons we believe that it's time to consider a change of this nature. First of all, our mission as a church is to reintroduce people to Jesus and the life he offers. And we believe that changing our name to a more city and county focus makes a statement about why we are here, and it sets a trajectory of greater influence as we look to the future. You heard from Jonathan this morning that through this inside-out strategy, we have been able to serve more effectively outside the walls of the church in more positive ways, And the impact we're having is opening doors for future ministry opportunities that we're excited about. But we believe that adding Greenville to our name makes a positive statement that we are a church that cares about our city and cares about our county. A second reason that we are asking you to consider a name change is because we believe that a name change will clear up some confusion about our current name. For years now, the staff has heard comments from people outside the walls of the church when insiders and members of Southside try to tell people about Southside Fellowship. You've probably heard questions yourself when you mention Southside Fellowship and someone says, "Oh, do you mean Southside Christian School?" I hear that all of the time. And we love Southside Christian School. Don't get me wrong, but we're not the same ministry as Southside Christian School anymore. Others not acquainted with our church sometimes will ask, "Southside Fellowship, do you mean Southside Baptist in Greer?" And people who have been in Greenville a long time or who work downtown sometimes will ask, "Oh, Southside down on Augusta Road." Now, we haven't been on Augusta Road in forever, but there are still people, when they hear Southside, they think Southside Augusta Road. And Jonathan hears these questions on an almost weekly basis, and he hears one that I've never heard of before. And that is when Jonathan uses a shorthand approach to introduce himself. When he says, "Hi, I'm Jonathan Parker. I'm director of city involvement for Southside." They go, "Oh, you mean Southside High School?" And it's, "No, it's not a high school. It's a church." And so we feel the confusion over our current name doesn't give us a clear, separate identity from these other institutions. And we feel that changing our name would clear up that confusion. Now, there's a third reason that I think actually brings together the first two reasons in a very simple statement, and that is we believe a name needs to say something. A while back, I went to visit Walt Hanford. Many of you were here when Pastor Hanford was the pastor of the church. He pastored here for 32 years. And he served as an elder here for 10 years after my coming. And that was a real sweet thing to have a former pastor be able to continue to serve as an elder here. And so I hold Pastor Hanford in such high regard. And I knew that the very last change, and Walt made lots of changes, but I knew the very last change that Walt wanted to make before he stepped down as pastor was he wanted to change the name of the church to give it a separate identity from the school, even though the two were together. And so when I went to ask him what he thought about a name change, here's what Pastor said. He said, "A name doesn't mean anything unless it says something. A name doesn't mean anything unless it says something." And then Walt Hanford went on to say, "Southside doesn't say anything." And that's true. It doesn't say anything geographically because we're not on the south side of town anymore. In fact, there has been confusion with newcomers to the area. When they hear Southside, they think of everything from the south side of town all the way to Fairview Road. So Southside has no geographic meaning. And if a majority of outsiders still tend to associate us with Southside Christian School, and I say again, we love the school, but if they tend to associate us with the school, Southside doesn't clearly identify us as a church. Recently, one of our members was trying to tell someone about our church and where it was located, and the person said, oh, I know where you're talking about. You mean the old Brookwood building? And he said, yeah. And he said, "Well, I thought that was the high school building for the school on Woodruff Road." And I remember back before we separated from the church and school when the gym burned down and we had all this coverage on the news and in the newspaper, all the coverage talked about what had happened to the school. And there was no mention of the church at all. So we believe changing our name to Fellowship Greenville says something. It says that we're a church that loves and cares about Greenville, both our city and both our county. And then there's a second part of that, and that's contained in the word fellowship, which we've had since our last name change. But since I came here, we have been
associated with a group of like-minded fellowship churches that is now called Fellowship Associates. Fellowship Bible Church in Little Rock, Arkansas, has planted over 53 churches across the country and around the world, and they're all churches with the same basic DNA. You say, well, what do you mean by DNA? Well, I'm talking about our approach to ministry. And if you've been through Discovering Southside in the last 15 years, you've heard us talk about fellowship DNA, meaning that we are a church that is more expositional in our teaching than topical in preaching, that we have a team approach to leadership, a plurality of leaders rather than a hierarchy where the senior pastor sets the agenda for everything, that we're a church that invites participatory worship, not simply to sit and sing and be spectators of worship, that we're a church that has an equipping focus more than an event focus, and we're a church that's more pneumatic in our decision-making than relying simply on pragmatics. And what that means is when the elders come to the table, each time we meet, the elders have one agenda. And that one agenda is to pray and ask God, God, what do you want for Southside? That's one of the reasons that we're not ready to present the budget, because we've been praying that. We've gone down several roads that have not panned out. And being pneumatic doesn't always fit with the fiscal year. So that's why we're where we are now with the budget. But that's basic fellowship DNA. And as I said, it's not unique to us. I was mentored into this kind of church under Robert Lewis, who was a teaching pastor at Fellowship Bible in Little Rock. I served 8 years in a fellowship church plant in Little Rock before coming here. And as I said, there's 53 other fellowship churches around the world that have this same DNA. You know some fellowship people. Some of you know or may remember Michael Easley, who was here and spoke on Sunday morning, and he led a group of us to Israel. He's the teaching pastor at Fellowship Nashville. One of our previous student pastors, Jason Tovey, is now at a fellowship church in Raleigh that we helped launch. Two of our current pastors have gone through the Fellowship Bible intern program in Little Rock, and currently we are helping support a church plant. We're supporting them by coaching them and financially supporting Fellowship Asheville. And so I think Walt was right. A name has to mean something, to say something, and we believe the name Fellowship Greenville says something about the kind of church we are or want to be, and that is a church that cares about our city, and it says something about the kind of churches we're like, fellowship churches. Now, this name change is simply a front door issue. It is a front door issue. When we dropped Baptist out of our name years ago, it wasn't because we were ashamed of our Baptist doctrine or our heritage. I mean, technically, we're still Southside Baptist Church, but this is a front door issue, and that means we're not changing any of our doctrine. We still have the same doctrinal statement that we've had since the inception of our church back in 1946, five. Yeah. But we we're not changing the way we do ministry in any way. We simply feel that the name Fellowship Greenville will make a more positive statement about who we are and the kind of churches we are like. Now, of course, I know that for many of us, change is uncomfortable. And this is a big change. It's a big change. But when it comes to ministry methodology, the one constant about our church has been change. Dr. Hanford made lots of changes that led us out of a fundamentalist background into a more grace-based way of understanding the Bible and ministry and church life. And he instituted major changes that set the church on the trajectory to become the church we are today. He was here in a service about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and so I went over and I sat down beside him, and I said, Pastor, you see all these people, you see everything that's going on here? And he said, yeah. And I said, all this is here because of the changes you made.
And I said, you fought some really hard battles to bring us to where we are today. And this is all we're here. This what's happening today is because of you. And he said, oh, you're kind. And I said, no, I'm not kind. I'm just telling you the truth, that we would not be here today if it were not for the changes that Walt made. And when I was talking with him in his home about all of this, he said, I was always in favor of any idea for change that I thought would advance the kingdom without destroying the church, which I thought was interesting because I'm sure there were lots of people who would have thought that the changes he was making would have destroyed the church. But the changes didn't destroy the church, but they did advance the kingdom. And since my coming to Southside, we've continued to make changes that we felt would advance the kingdom and promote a more biblical and effective way of doing ministry. We made a major change in our form of government to a more biblical elder form of leadership in the church. Years ago, we did drop Baptist out of the name because we felt that would have more positive influence in the community. And as a front door issue, and we separated the church and the school, launched the school out as its own separate 501c3 organization, and we moved the church up to this location. We don't change things simply for change's sake. The leadership proposed changes when we sense God may be moving us to a more biblical and or a more effective way of doing ministry. And so what we're doing, what I'm asking you this morning is that over the next several weeks, we're asking you to pray about this proposed change. We're asking you to come to the table the way the elders do, and that is, here's an idea, God. Is this something that you would have us do? Would you have us make this name change? Would this help us reach unchurched people in our community? Would this name change give us a more clear, positive identity as we move forward in future ministry? We're just asking you, would you ask God, is this something you want for this fellowship of believers? And we're asking you to be open to his answer, whatever that may be. And we want your input. We will have a town meeting on Sunday afternoon, June 23rd, from 4:30 to 6 o'clock right here. And this will be a time where you can come and you can ask questions, you can express concerns, you can give input, but we do care about what you think. This is a whole body decision. And by the way, you're going to receive an email tomorrow that will give you kind of everything that I talk about this morning in written form. If you still go, I'm still trying to get my mind around it. Jonathan Parker and I, with a group of staff, shot a video where he and I, in a more informal setting, talked through the very same kinds of things we talked through today. That might be of help to you. It's about 30 minutes. You can go to our website and you can watch that. So we want to give you all the information that you need to pray intelligently and pray openly. But the main thing is, if this is something you're interested in, is that town meeting on June the 23rd. And then on Sunday morning, June 30th, we will call for a congregational vote on changing our name from Southside Fellowship to Fellowship Greenville. Big change, big change. This is one of those changes, though, like many others in our past, that we very much want you to be a part of. We want a sense that God is leading us all in this direction. Because after all, this will be, if it passes, this is going to be a name that will be on all of our lips for years to come. So let's pray now, and I'll trust that you'll pray later as well. Father, thank you for granting us favor here in our city. We do sense that your good hand is on this ministry. And so we're asking that you guide us in the decisions we face in the days ahead, both in the area of influence and what we need to do to care for the more and more people you're bringing here, the increase, and where we put them and how we handle that, and where we go from here. We ask for your guidance in the decisions we face as we think about this name change. And so we're wanting your guidance because we want to continue to enjoy the favor of God as we carry out the work of God. We don't want to do anything to screw it up. So would you lead us in a very clear way from this point forward? In Jesus' name.